We welcome those as well who are watching our service through our live streaming. And also, we thank those who give regularly online through the church website. There are cards. We had a family at one of our services, and the daughter finally said to the mom and dad when the basket was passed, they had not put anything in for a while, and the daughter said, "Why don't we put anything in?" And the dad explained, "We give online." And so we actually have laminated cards in the narthex in a basket, and when the offering plate comes, people put those laminated cards in that say, "I gave online." And it's a real educational tool to children and others to know that is there. And the offering is part of worship. And so thank you to those who are participating in that way. The sermon this morning looks forward to the Thanksgiving holiday. The title is, "What Does It Mean to Be Thankful? What Does It Take to Be Thankful?" There are two scripture readings. The first is from Luke chapter 17, and the second is from Colossians chapter 3. In Luke 17, notice that Jesus cleanses 10 lepers, not just one. Beginning at verse 11 in chapter 17, "On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him, keeping their distance. They called out, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, 'Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well.'" And then Paul writes to the Christians in Colossae chapter 3, verse 15, these words, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Let us pray as we come to the message. Lord, as we come to our Thanksgiving holiday, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Spirit that we may truly be thankful people. And today, as the scriptures have been read and your word is now to be proclaimed, may we hear with joy what you have to say to us today. In Christ's name, amen. I begin this morning with a question. When was the last time you used the word Thanksgiving without referencing it to Thanksgiving Day? When was the last time you did that? Use the word Thanksgiving without referencing it to Thanksgiving Day or Thanksgiving holiday. What I'm suggesting it's appropriate to do is to give thanks every day, thanks at the dinner table every day, thanks at any time of a meal with others or with oneself, but we have to become careful or it can become so routine it can be a formality, and so it must be done sincerely and with thought and with humility and coming before God in a time of prayer and God's presence. It reminds me of a good definition for thankfulness, that thankfulness is a joyful response of the human heart that has been transformed by the grace of God. Thankfulness is the joyful response of the human heart as it has been transformed by the grace of God. The psalmist in Psalm 100 is one of my favorites. The psalmist calls us to enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise and to be thankful unto him and bless his name. And why are we to do that? Because in verse 5 of Psalm 100, the psalmist goes on to tell us, "For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." And so we enter God's sanctuary, we enter into God's presence daily in devotion. And why do we do that? The psalmist gives us three reasons in verse 5. We are to do it with thanksgiving. Why? Because God is good, because God is loving, and because God is faithful. Psalm 100 is a beautiful psalm of thanksgiving. More than 30 times in the Psalms, the psalmist says, "Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving should be a way of life for each person of faith. A way of life. The Apostle Paul, in writing to those Christians in Colossae that we read just a moment ago, you note that he says that thanksgiving is an attitude for all times and all places. Paul writes, "In everything give thanks." Notice he did not say, "In some things give thanks." Give thanks when you feel like it. No, it's "In all things give thanks." In all things. It was the theologian Karl Barth in the last century, one of the greatest theologians of that century, he said, and I quote, he said, "Basically and radically, all sin is simply ingratitude to God." I believe he was on the target with that. And so Thanksgiving Day, it comes to each one of us as an annual call to faith, an annual reminder that personally and as a nation, nationally, and for us again spiritually, we are to be thankful as people of faith. But then comes the question, how do you do that, preacher? How can we be truly thankful? What does it take to be thankful? How do you pull that off? Well, first of all, to pull it off, I think you need humility. Humility. It takes humility. It is important, first of all, to humble ourselves before God on a daily basis. A daily basis. We are also beholden to others. Life is just not about our own achievements, our own accomplishments, but that which we have received gift upon gift, piled up on one after another from others who have been so good to us. Personally, I am so grateful. I am so grateful for our Wednesday dinners this fall, for a time to celebrate our church staff that have been with us in benchmark years of service. I mentioned at the second service, Stephanie Carson has been with us over 100 years. Actually, over 22 years, and she still looks like 29. And others have been with us, Chris Hurst, over 11 years, Tom Huffman, over 10. And each person in turn, Paul Means, almost 11 years. Justine Davis, 5 years, Director of Children's Ministry and Director of our schools. We are so blessed. I am so grateful. Nothing to build Christ Church up can be done by one person or one personality. It takes session and elders and deacons and those who are caregivers in this church, our church staff, all of our members, building up the body of Christ in thanksgiving for what God has done for us. I find it really hard to understand how anyone in this day and time can call himself or herself self-made. I don't believe that's possible, to be self-made. The dangers of being successful, of being prosperous, of being effective is that we tend to magnify what we have earned and we tend to ignore what others have done for us to get us where we are in life. I noted in this reading in Luke that at least one of the lepers, did you read this? One of the lepers whom Jesus healed that day was convinced it was not because of his good constitution. It wasn't because of his good luck. He was convinced it was Jesus' doing as to why he was cleansed, why he was healed and restored to the community by the priests. In 1958, there was a famous essay that was written by a man named Leonard Reed. I had several people share appreciations for this quote after the first and second service. Leonard Reed, in 1958, he was the founder of the Foundation of Economic Education. And the essay that he wrote that became so popular was in defense of the free market that we have in America. And the title of his essay was two words, I pencil. I pencil. Can you see this pencil in the back? So I see someone shaking their head. No, let me get a larger pencil to help with this illustration. You must have been in the other service. Now, I'm doing this so you'll remember the pencil on Thanksgiving and remember the point. So you can see this one on the back row. I have to tell you, my wife loaned me this pencil. It says Westfield.com. It's from Westfield Malls, where she works as a visual designer. She's also an artist, but she's been spending a lot of time at the malls. And I asked her if I could borrow this pencil that was from a back-to-school display. And so I did. Leonard Reed, in 1958, he said that the simple pencil could not be created by a single person. No one in the world knows how to make it all by themselves. Not just one pencil. It takes a lot of people, a lot of necessary labor and laborers to make this one pencil. I imagine it took a lot of more people to make this one. But he lists in his essay the loggers in California that cut down the trees to make the pencil, the railroaders who shipped the logs to the mill workers who cut the timber into pencil-like slats that we know so well when we hold a pencil, the kiln workers that put the wood in the ovens to dry and to give it that yellow color that we know so well as a pencil, the sweepers and helpers at the mill, the power plant workers who provide the electricity, the miners who provide the graphite, and yes, this pencil writes, that's real graphite. The graphite in 1958 came from overseas and it was shipped to America to make pencils and delivered by sailors on ships. The metal at the end of the pencil, it came at that time from zinc and copper mines in other countries. And the eraser top at the end comes from rapeseed oil reacting with sulfur chloride from the East Indies. Millions of human beings had a hand in the pencil's creation. All were necessary. And not one of them can claim to know the whole process, not even the president of the pencil company. And so Leonard Reed wrote famously at the end of his article the phrase that became popular, "Only God can make a tree." What a gift of so many people to provide this pencil. One simple pencil. Do you feel humble now? It takes so many people just to make one pencil. Better yet, think of the millions who serve every day in this nation and the world in wondrous ways. Laborers, manufacturers, factories, and farmers. And they have countless skills and they work so hard to give us and provide us things that we enjoy. You see, when we are humbled, then we can be truly grateful. Secondly, what it takes for us to be thankful is an appreciation for all of life. We can choose in all of life to appreciate things, or we can choose to be complainers. We can decide and act upon seeing life positively or seeing it negatively. There is always something good to find, even in extreme circumstances. I have met so many people over the years, people even though they are suffering or facing some sort of tribulation, who have said, in spite of what I am going through, I have so much for which to be thankful for. Again after again, I hear that testimony. We often joke about Murphy's Law. You know Murphy's Law. If anything can go wrong, it will. And years ago, you may have heard about O'Malley's Law. You know what O'Malley's Law is. O'Malley says Murphy was an optimist. And it seems that way, doesn't it, in life? That if you butter a piece of bread and you happen to drop it, it always seems to be that the butter side falls on the floor first. I tested that this week with peanut butter, and I think almost every time it landed on the peanut butter side. The cats didn't know what to think in the house. But I think it's because that side of the bread is heavier. But some people live this way. Their cry is, if anything can go wrong, it will. And what I want to say to you this morning, as you go to your Thanksgiving dinners this week, with so many others, I hope, that what I'm saying is, of course, garbage happens. But for the Christian, the message is, grace also happens. Joy also happens. Growth also happens. When I think of those 10 lepers, all healed of that ugly, scaly, deforming disease, there was only one who returned to express appreciation. Only one said thank you, and that one was from the wrong faith, a Samaritan. It makes you wonder why the other 9 did not return to say thank you. One may have said to another leper, I'm not going back. Me, I've just always been lucky. I just got lucky. I got better. Another may have said, you know, it's that oil. I was using this new oil, and the scales were just falling off. And yes, I saw Jesus, but it was going away anyway. Made no difference. Another may have just forgotten about all of this because they were complaining so much about all the lost years they had lost, not being a part of the community, so ostracized. They could not be thankful for what the Lord had done for them. They were always complaining. Whatever. Someone that has suggested that instead of saying general thank yous around this holiday time, that we make a Thanksgiving inventory. I think that would be an excellent idea. So you can use your bulletins this morning or just put some of these lists in your memory for later this afternoon. Write down a thoughtfulness that someone showed you in the last 12 months. Why not write down an accomplishment or a challenge that you met and you're thankful to have jumped over that particular fence? Why not note and make an inventory of the dreams that have come true for you, the prayers that have been answered? Why not write the name down of the new friend? And while you're doing it, write down the name of the old friend. Write down the name of the person for which you may have taken for granted until now. Write down an occasion that was really a fun time that you had, even in the rain. When you can write down a list like that and express appreciation for things like these, it is much easier to be thankful. Well, then thirdly, what it takes to be thankful is also, finally, unselfishness and generosity. It is hard for those who are greedy, it's hard for those who are selfish to be thankful. It was Henry David Thoreau who said it this way, I make myself rich by making my wants few. On the other hand, I think it was Henry Ford who asked the question, how much money is enough? And his answer was, just a little more is enough. We can be thankful when we see that what we have is sufficient. And all of us will realize that when we begin bringing items down for that church-wide garage sale. All we have is enough. But we can't be thankful when we feel there is never enough. Never. There's never enough. And so this season, make a list of the gifts you have and not a list of the things you don't have. Think about the things that we treasure that we can't put on a MasterCard, like the sunset, or freedom of speech like this morning that we enjoy, or a sense of self-worth that some parent or a mentor instilled in you, that you have a sense of identity and of value. How about that person that gave you that undeserved love that you have received, even though you have warts and all? Life, you see what I'm saying, isn't just a grab bag. It is truly a cornucopia of plenty, even for the poorest of us here. Furthermore, thankfulness and generosity, they do go together. Thankfulness and generosity are twins. Those who are truly grateful are generous. And those who are generous, they grow in gratitude. It goes together. I've always felt that it's appropriate that Thanksgiving Day comes during the stewardship season of the church. They belong together, do they not? At our best, our giving is in response of the thanksgiving that we have to God for all God has done, because back of it all, and even the back of the pencil, is God who made the tree. And at the center of our faith is an awesome truth that God has sacrificed himself for us in a son. And in doing so, our lives are free from guilt and shame and from fear and dread because of the cross. And so humility, appreciation, unselfishness, and generosity, these are the things that help us to truly be thankful. And we close in only one way by saying thanks. Thanks be to God. Amen.